from homeschoolcpa.com, back with some more podcasts on the Dollars and Cents Show. You will be listening to a four-part podcast series that are excerpts from a talk I did at the Indiana Association of Home Educators Leaders Retreat. The Indiana statewide organization holds an annual retreat, just a day long, usually just a middle of a day retreat for their support group, homeschool co-op, and any kind of homeschool leader. And they invited me to talk to them recently. And so I entitled my talk, "What Are Homeschool Leaders Thinking About?" Because I thought that might be interesting for leaders in Indiana to hear about what other leaders across the country are contacting me at my website, or what I'm hearing in phone calls, and what I'm hearing when I visit different states. So the four podcasts focus on how homeschooling is changing and the lines between homeschooling or running micro schools or running, you know, private schools are blurring, and what we should be doing about that as homeschool leaders. The second podcast in the four-part podcast is going to be about the relationships that homeschool organizations have with their churches. Some homeschool groups are having a hard time getting churches to host them, and I spent a little time talking about that. There is an episode in this four-part series about tax-exempt status, what you need to get it, and how you maintain it, and maybe when you don't need it. And then finally, a very timely topic that I'm getting asked a lot of questions about, that is paying volunteers and paying teachers in your homeschool co-op. So to find the other podcasts, you could go to my website, homeschoolcpa.com/podcast. And then you can find podcasts like this one that you can listen to get helpful information for you as a homeschool group leader. I hope these podcasts are helpful to you. Understand, I'm talking to a live audience, so the audio quality can be a little variable. Sometimes there are questions coming from the leaders, and the volume may dip a little bit, but I hope you can still get a lot of helpful information and encouragement from this podcast given at the Indiana Association of Home Educators Leaders Retreat.
Okay, so I do want this workshop, which I've entitled "What's on the Minds of Homeschool Leaders," to be very interactive. This is a dialogue we're going to have. Now, I know we're going to have the town hall later, but this is a chance for you to raise your hand and interrupt when you have a question, a comment, an observation about what's going on in your neck of the woods. So I have this website, Homeschool CPA, and I get a lot of emails, and I get a lot of questions, and I do a lot of phone consultations with leaders across the country. So what I'm going to share with you are some of the things that I am hearing from them. And you may be shocked, as I am, as I have been, about some of the things I'm hearing that's going on, or you may be nodding your head like, oh yeah, that's happening right here. And these are questions that people ask me. Common questions that I'm going to try to attempt to answer. What I'm going to talk about, the next slide, are just changes that I'm seeing in homeschooling. I'm going to talk about the blurring of homeschooling and public schooling. Boy, is it getting blurry. I'm going to talk about the fact that a good man is hard to find, a good church is even harder. When I started Homeschool CPA 10, 12 years ago, everybody I talked to was a nonprofit organization. Everybody was a nonprofit. And now I have to get on the phone with somebody and say, are you running this as your business? Or are you a board and running a nonprofit? It's not as clear anymore. There are a lot of homeschool businesses out there, and they're co-ops and they're offering classes, but they're somebody's business. So I have to ask questions that I didn't used to have to ask before. Classical conversations is the best example. Those individual, you have classical conversations in your community? Raise your hands. I got to see your hands. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. you can say yes too. Those communities are mostly for-profit businesses. Occasionally, some of them form as nonprofit organizations. But anyway, that's just one thing I'm seeing is changing. As a matter of fact, the first for-profit homeschool business I ever ran into was here in Indiana. I was at IAHE maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and somebody said, oh, that program, I think it was a sports program, that woman's running it as her business. So I thought, I want to go talk to her. And here's what I asked her. Do you have a hard time getting volunteers? Because it's your business. And what do you think she said? She said, no. And I was shocked too. I was, oh. So maybe she didn't advertise that it was her business, or the parents got what they wanted, which was a sports program, and they figured they have to volunteer. I don't know. Okay. How about this? Are you getting phone calls? Are you getting requests? And somebody says, will you find somebody who homeschools my kids? Well, I got an email the other week from a woman who has four kids. She works full time. She has a nanny for the younger kids, I guess. Now she's going to pull the older kids out of school. And she says, I want the nanny to homeschool them. Anything wrong with that? I guess not. I guess you can hire a nanny to homeschool your kids. She wants Mary Poppins, doesn't she? If you think about it, anybody see Mary Poppins? You know, remember Jane and Michael Banks? They were school age, if you think about it. I don't know. The world is changing, isn't it? You can't always assume that the person providing the homeschool services are mom and dad anymore. It might be Mary Poppins. Are you finding more people are asking about working and homeschooling? As a matter of fact, if you took a survey of when I was in my homeschool co-op, and my kids are now 23 and 26, so I stopped homeschooling a few years ago, but I would say if I took a survey in my homeschool co-op of about 30 families, definitely half of them, the mothers, had some sort of paid employment. Would you say? What do you think the statistics are in your group? 50%? Of the women have employment or more? You think less in your group? More? I bet the closer you are to large cities like Indianapolis, the more likely that the homeschool moms also have some kind of part-time employment or a business of their own or something like that. You are finding more and more people are working and homeschooling. This statistic, 34% of homeschool parents have both parents in the workforce. Can you read the fine print? That's from 2007, 10 years ago. I couldn't find a more recent statistic. If that was true 10 years ago, this was pre-recession, I bet there's more than 50% of homeschool parents have some sort of income. You got to realize that. So when you're looking for volunteers, you know why it's hard? Because that homeschool mom's also working a job. And why should she work for you for no money when she's got to work for money for the family? Just a problem that we're facing, right? And single moms. More and more single moms want to homeschool, and that's really hard for them. They're the ones more dependent upon the virtual academies. And what do you guys have here in Indiana again? We have K-12 in Ohio. What do you have here as your virtual academy? What's it called? Connections. Yeah. They're more attracted to that kind of program because maybe they can still somehow work, but it's out there. And they call themselves homeschoolers, right? Blurring the lines again, right? Okay. There was a very interesting workshop given at the HSLDA National Conference. It was fascinating. HSLDA, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, did this survey of homeschoolers, and they went outside of their database, and they tried to survey a big section of people who homeschool, and this is the kind of stuff that they found. These were the reasons why people were homeschooling now. Now, you know, I started homeschooling. I homeschooled for 14 years, and so I probably started, like, I can't remember. I'm an accountant who doesn't do math on the fly. Probably 20 years ago, okay? 20 years ago, there were two types of homeschoolers, right? There were the religious or the faith-based homeschoolers, right? And then who were the other group, do you know? Hippies, you got it. That was about it. There were two of us, and we kind of knew each other about each other. That was about it. Look at now, though. Now, according to this survey from HSLDA, there are four main groups of reasons why they homeschool. They homeschool for education. These are educated people. This is about 17% of the surveys. They homeschool because they want the best education for their child. 31% of it are values-oriented. That would be the old-fashioned faith-based. We want to impart our values and our faith to our children. That's 31% of homeschoolers. These other two groups are really surprising. 15% are looking for alternatives. Some kind of alternative education because the school system is failing them in some way, maybe bullying, maybe academically. But they need alternatives. This might be where the working mom or the single mom fits. And then there's this huge chunk, which HSLDA really didn't know how to classify, but they call them stretched and searching. These are, and this is huge, 37% of homeschoolers are homeschooling not for values, not for faith-based reasons, not because they want the best education, but these are parents who have kids who are either above grade level, maybe close to gifted, or they're struggling learners, either physically or academically. These parents are stretched because they already have a challenging kid, and they, the school systems are not providing whatever these kids need, and they're turning to homeschooling. And you know what their needs are? This was so fascinating. They have two big needs. One is to understand the education law in their state, which is why your book is coming out in a timely manner. I need to know what it takes to educate legally in my state, and they want resources, meaning what curriculum, what resources exist. That's what they want. They aren't necessarily looking for support groups. Interesting, huh? I cannot found this survey online, but HSLDA might be sharing it soon. I found it very interesting that look at that huge chunk of people that are out there homeschooling, and they're not necessarily for the same motivations and reasons we are. So homeschooling is changing, and we have to figure out, are our groups going to try to meet the needs of these people, or are we going to stick and focus on what we do here? I can't answer that. You guys are going to do some soul searching and try to figure that out. But one thing, I think it's going to come up as a town hall question, are we holding community events to tell people about homeschooling? And this might be one way you try to help these people. I'm at least going to hold a community event and tell you what it takes to legally homeschool in Indiana. Okay. Here's what I'm finding. There's a huge blurring of what is homeschooling and what is public schooling. I get these phone calls a lot where somebody says, for example, I just heard from a woman in Texas, and she wants to, a different state, not Indiana. And she was a public school teacher, private school teacher. The private school, Christian school, is closing down. 10 families have said, would you homeschool my children? 10 families got together, asked this teacher, will you homeschool my children? What about 10 families getting together is homeschooling? I told her, I think you're starting a micro school. A micro school is a new word. I only heard about it at a homeschool convention about a year and a half ago. I was doing a program much like this one for leaders, and somebody came up to me and she said, I'm starting a homeschool, a micro school, homeschool, micro school. All right, what's that? And I started learning about them, and they are like the old-fashioned one-room schoolrooms come back to life as micro schools. So I'm trying to tell this woman, you're not really running a homeschool. As I talked to her more, I found out that she was running or planning to run 4 days a week, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the reason she thinks it's homeschooling is because the kids will be not with her for 1 day a week. She is doing the education. She's picking the curriculum. Maybe mom and dad are going to come in and help her. Most of the parents are working, which is why they had their kids in Christian school to begin with. And now they're forming this. So I'm telling her, you're a micro school. You're not legally homeschooling. So these are the kind of litmus tests I use. Who's responsible for the compulsory attendance requirement? The parents or your program, your micro school? How many days are you running the program, and are the parents legally homeschooling according to the state? So this woman on the phone with me from Texas pulls out the Texas laws, and if you don't know Texas laws, they're very vague. She starts meaning the Texas laws about homeschooling, and she thinks she fits them. I'm like, not when they're with you, the teacher, 4 days a week, 8 to 3. So the lines are blurring. The lines are blurring, and it's going to be a challenge to figure out what is homeschooling anymore. But that makes my job interesting.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing some of the questions and my replies to the homeschool leaders given there at the Indiana Association of Home Educators Leaders Retreat. Hey, I hope your state organization is supporting you by offering leader gatherings like this, maybe in conjunction with your statewide homeschool convention or separately like Indiana does. But, you know, you could put something together yourself, and you can invite me to come and talk to homeschool leaders in your area. I'm flying out to Kansas in a few days to talk to leaders in Wichita. But, you know, if you can't afford that, then maybe something like a virtual visit, a conference, a telephone conference call, or a, you know, a Skype visit might be just what you want to bring helpful information like this to your leaders in your local area. So please contact me, Carol at Homeschool CPA, if I can be of some assistance to your homeschool leaders, and maybe we could set something up that's affordable and helpful to your leaders. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.